Tonight is the night.
Halloween.
Yes.
Halloween.
The guess the shoes for your costume. Clap your hands and stomp your feet. Tonight's the night. We're going out. It's time to trick or treat and get freaky. Clap your hands and stomp your feet. Tonight's the night. We're going out. It's time to trick or treat. It's time to trick or treat. Oh, Halloween. We're going out. It's time to trick or treat. Guess the shoes for your costume. Clap your hands and stomp your feet. Tonight's the night. We're going out. It's time to trick or treat. Get freaky.
Time to warm it up.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Warm-Up, RazRadioLive.com, SaltyDogRadio.com. Just got a call from, got a little heads up from Fabian. He is on track. He's hopefully going to be a few minutes early tonight. We got him scheduled for the third hour, but he says he might be in a little bit before that. But he should be in by about 5:30. So, midpoint of second hour, we'll get that thing rolling. Still wondering where the hell is the fish? He's disappeared from sight today. I don't even know if he's been following any Facebook later. I don't know. Maybe we lost the fish. Has anybody seen anything from fish today? Is he okay? Is he still alive? I'm just wondering. I'm all kind of work now. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line joining us now from parts unknown, Mr. Fabian Trahan from Eastern Paranormal, ITC researcher extraordinaire. How's it going, buddy? Fabian, you were there. I heard you. Mr. Trahan.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm in the den. So every now and again it cuts out, but we're good.
So it's not necessarily parts unknown. It's in the den.
No.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yes.
How do you, what is y'all's username? Is it Salty Talk Radio on Skype?
On Skype, you can actually, for this, the easiest one to get in on today is just Raz Radio 1. Raz Radio 1 on Skype, and it'll come straight
Radio,
out.
All right. All right, well, okay. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, good to talk to everyone tonight. Hope everybody's getting ready for Halloween, their Halloween happiness.
Oh, yeah. Love some Halloweens.
So, yeah.
You doing all right, man? I know you were in a mad dash to get your butt home today, so we can give you if you need a minute, you can settle in. You can tell some jokes.
No, I'm good. I had a couple of burritos. I'm good to go.
Couple of burritos. All right. Spicy? Spicy, not spicy.
Always spicy.
There you go.
Tapatia. You ever heard of tapatia?
Yeah.
You put it on your burrito.
Tapatia on my burrito and on my taco. Yeah, yeah. You don't know? I know. I've got that song somewhere.
Yeah. So,
what are you bringing us this year, my friend? There's a brand new season. I know you've been working on some stuff. Tell us about, but before we get into the paranormal stories. Tell us about your new project that you're working on.
I'm working on a show called The Parasanctum, and I'm going to feature different guests of the paranormal and other people that have had experiences in the paranormal, people that have actually researched with the paranormal, and also hopefully some of my really good friends who tagged a little fame in the paranormal itself, so they can explain what they do, what they're up to, and, you know, sort of like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool, man.
And just paranormal stuff, but I decided to move on. I just wanted to do something different. Wanted to do something to where I can bring people in and interview people, and if you will have me, and if Don Pontius will have me, I'd like to do podcasts and even some live shows in the future.
Hopefully live shows for sure. And that's
yeah. Well, I get the mix minus figured out. I will certainly holler. That's some crazy shit, man. Trying to figure that mix minus out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just ignorant.
Once you see it, once it clicks, you're gonna be like, "Are you kidding me, man? That's easy peasy." You'll be good to go.
And I may have figured it out. I haven't tried my experiment out yet. That's why I'm asking you about Skype. Is that how you guys do your thing?
Yeah. And we're running. You're running on Skype right now, and Fish is on Skype. I'm running Skype here. You can either call in on the phone number; it rolls into Skype, or you can Skype in; comes in on Skype. But yeah, it all comes in Skype.
Okay, so is it always Raz Radio 1, or are you using different names?
For the direct connect via Skype, when I'm doing the show that is simulcasting on both Raz and Salty Talk, I run on the Raz line, so it would be Raz Radio 1. And then I've got the phone number set for rollover, so you can call the Salty Talk line, and it rolls over to the Raz line.
But I see.
I used to run back when I had actual working internets of relative speed. I had multiple Skype lines running at the same time, so I did have a full the Salty Talk line would be running on one machine, Raz on another, and we had the video streams on another box and so forth and so on. But I can barely support the damn the encoding of the vocal. The voice side, the audio broadcast, let alone anything else anymore. So until we get our souped up internets, which Claudia is just about giving me the green light to go ahead and put in the Comcast business line, which I will, yay! And then I can get
now back to normal. Now that's serious. That's what I've got. I've got Comcast. I don't have business. Yeah. But I've got Xfinity, and the internet is incredibly fast.
Yeah.
But I was going to tell you about this Parasanctum thing. I'm hoping to release that by December, and I'll be in touch with you. And I appreciate your support, and thanks for bringing it up, because I had the May Stringer house on my mind when I called you,
mm-hmm.
which is about 130 miles north by north east of you, over near Tampa.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's in Brooksville. Well,
it's a little north northwest then from here.
Yeah. What? Oh, is it north by northwest?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Well, it's probably just a straight shot up. Yeah. Probably just straight north of you.
No, everything seems west from here. Everything feels like it's west.
Well, maybe it's because the sun's always in your eyes.
Yeah,
in the
pretty
evening.
Much.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know about how many people who are listening have heard of the May Stringer House, but according to a lot of sources, it's one of the most haunted, if not the most haunted, house in all of Florida. It was turned into a museum, and there's actually quite a few people that have gotten captures and audio recordings in this place. So I thought I'd bring it up as our topic of discussion for now.
No, I think that's great.
There's actually a ghost called Mr. Nasty. in this house, and I'll tell you a little bit about him in a minute. And I was wanting to get back with Buzzy on this shadow people thing.
He jumped out. He's listening, yeah. But he had to jump out. Apparently, he's getting loaded.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Well, he was asking about shadow people, and I'll try to touch base on that if we have time later.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know, because he's telling me that he thinks that I either have shadow people or something about that recurring, I don't know what the hell, a recurring something, because I see daily.
Well, there you got repeating phantasms, which are where they're like a loop, you know. I don't know if you remember me telling you a couple of years ago on the show that we did together a couple of years ago. And it's like a repeating, like they believe it's the stone tape theory, where the energy of the spirit is absorbed into the elements around it, and it just keeps looping and coming back, and you know, it keeps repeating a cycle. It may explain the woman that's been in coming by. Maybe she's attracted to the, well, when you do the radio shows, maybe you're throwing something off in the wherever your studio is. Maybe there's some kind of energy that only, you know, whenever you start the show, that it's the only time that energy is running, and that's why you're having that.
It could be.
So it may have something be tied into something electromagnetic or something even electrical.
Well, there's damn sure a lot of computer monitors running, so and computers. So
yeah, well, I know
that's part of it.
Well, if you take a K2 meter and you walk up to a monitor, some of them actually you get it lights up all the way across. So yeah, so that maybe it. Maybe you're creating a vortex of energy from the monitors that you have positioned at certain. That could be. Maybe that's one of the explanations. I thought that was interesting you brought that up, though.
Yeah.
About that. We talked about the fan, you know, where you were hearing the fan noise change at 3 a.m. Maybe that's the bit she's doing.
Maybe. Right. Well, and that was in the fan noise was at the old place. And now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is at the new house here, and now I'm actually seeing something now. The fan noise was before we moved to this old house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was the same house.
No, different house. No, 2 years ago, that fan noise thing, that was at either 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, every single solitary day. And it would boom, and there'd be some sort of shift. The fans would change speeds. Every day it was just something. At either 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and you know, again, you got the time changes that we're looking at. So I'm not sure that ghosts or paranormal entities of any kind actually pay attention to daylight savings time shifting. So maybe that's part parcel of why that was throwing back and forth between 3 and 4 during the year. But
well, that theory actually holds water with it's like an explanation of why they might be doing these loops, because they believe that at the moment of death that people release energy, because as we know, or as we've been told by Einstein, that energy never dies, it just changes form.
Right.
So maybe it's like this reoccurring loop, like a Kerr loop, where it's coming back around and it's just, you know, repeating itself because it's caught in some kind of temporal displacement, even maybe. But then you've got the difference between a ghost and a spirit. I'm going to re-explain that based on what I've learned and what I've read and my conclusions. I mean, the thing about the paranormal, like I was telling you, there's no experts. In my honest opinion, everybody's got a theory. A lot of people run with those theories. They make a profession or even a career out of it. And they may even be expert in the methods based on their theory. But in truth, as far as I'm concerned, and hey, it's up for debate.
Yeah.
I do not believe that anyone is particularly an expert in the paranormal per se, because the paranormal is actually diversified. It's so many different aspects of this type of science. It's unknown, you know, it's the esoteric. It's things that we don't truly understand.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to not truly understand it, the limitations of the human mind, it's like trying to say we know how God was created. You know, it's something along that line. I mean, these things are happening. We know they're happening. As technology progresses, we're catching more and more of these, you know,
certainly,
these sightings, these images. And then, of course, you got, as technology increases, you got charlatans. And I love busting people that try to say they're this and they're that and they're really not. That's one of my favorite things, is to call somebody out.
So
when they're making real researchers look bad.
Would you call Buzzy a charlatan exorcist?
No. I love Buzzy, man. I think he's awesome. And Buzzy reminds me of my uncle. I had an uncle named Bill. And Uncle Bill, he reminds me so much of my Uncle Bill. He was killed in a car accident many years ago, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
And Buzzy is just down to earth. He's just plain spoken. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Some people can't handle it. Some people can. Apparently Twitter can't.
Yeah, right. Of all the damn places you get kicked off of, Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
It's impossible. But I've tried. I can't do
yeah.
it.
But
so
I'm eating up our time.
Tell me about built back in the 1850s, the May Stringer House. Tell us about this place.
Yeah, well, the May Stringer House, it's a museum now over in Brooksville.
Mm-hmm.
And It's loaded full of antiquities from the 1800s and early 1900s. But it's also a collection of war items and stuff. But actually, the museum has a tour, and around Halloween it also has a tour where people can... It used to be $20 you could pay to go in there and investigate, and I'm not sure what it is now. I'd really love to do that if I could find the time or even the ability to get down there and get back in time to go back to work. I work 6 days a week. I understand totally where Mr. Harris is coming from. I heard him talking earlier, and I'm 6 days a week too. And it's important to have that comma in that paycheck. but you miss out on a lot of things that you would like to do, things that you'd like to really do because you're constantly working. So I wouldn't be able to get down there. But to you guys down there in Florida, man, hey, y'all might want to check it out. It's not far.
So
it's up the road from y'all.
The haunting on this place is the little girl, this Jessie Mae Saxon.
Yeah, that's it.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'll go ahead and go into detail about the they erected the house. Well, Buzzy knows that word. They erected the house in around 1856. I had to pick on him and fish. They erected the house around 1856, and the original man who built the house was John May, and he had moved into the house with his daughters and his wife. Her name was Marina, and he died within 2 or 3 years of having built the house. So his wife was like single for 8 years, and she hooked up with this guy named Frank Saxon. And shortly after, she got she gave birth to a baby, a little girl, but she died in childbirth. She died giving birth to her child. And they called it something called pure pearl fever. Apparently, this is what they called whenever back then a woman died giving birth to a baby. I really don't know much about that, but actually, it's actually a very sad story. The mother dies, and within 3 years, this beautiful little girl dies too.
That was a Jessie Mae, right?
The little girl. Yeah, she dies, and she was a beautiful little girl, and she passes away. And over the years, you know, several different people have lived in the house. And they've all come to the conclusion that it's haunted. And there's actually a photograph when you walk in there of the little girl in her coffin. It looks like she's asleep, but she's passed away in that coffin. Now they're talking about, like, the little girl. You can hear her crying in the attic at night. And you can hear a little voice, like a soft voice. And they say they see her peering down from an attic window. So, and it's actually very sad. You know, it's a sad story that the mother died and then the little girl died. But yet they're in this house and they're causing all these little incidents to happen. So, there's dozens of EVPs and pictures. And so I just wanted to, you know, touch base with something there down in Florida, right, close to you guys. And so I'll tell you about Mr. Nasty in a minute.
Yeah, so what's up with the doctors moved in to use the home for a while?
Yeah, basically the house is a very high end house. If you look at the pictures of it, you can tell it's a beautiful. It's like a mansion type house. It's sort of like the house I stayed in and had my first paranormal experience in 1976 when I was 8.
So it's three story house.
It's got more room.
Shit, four stories, isn't it? Once you get all the way up to the upper attic, it's four stories.
Yeah. Basically, it's a pancake type house. You got the first layer, second layer, then you've got a central attic, and then you got the upper attic. So yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now. The facade of it. It's beautiful. It's got like this, the flat end of it. It's sort of like, come in, welcoming us to come in.
You know, yeah, it's got
to experience the horror.
What do they call it? The Victorian, the painted lady Victorian look to it.
Yeah, gingerbread kind of looking stuff.
Yeah, you know. It's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
Today it's a museum.
Yeah.
What was the evolution to get to that, or do you know?
Well, basically, I guess over the years they decided to, go ahead and make it into a museum based on the fact that it was a historical building. It had been there for many years, and I'd say the doctors probably tied into that. Probably brought in a lot of different items, and then over time, you know, a lot of places they just kind of the historical aspect of them make you know, the people want to come visit it. So whenever someone buys it and they're like, well, I really don't want to live here, it's too big, but you know, we can put all this stuff in here and let people come in, and you know, so I'm thinking that's probably why they did that. They just decided to bring a bunch of things in, and then hey, well, we can add the ghostly aspect to it, and that'll even draw more people. So I see there's a little monetary draw to this, but there's actually pictures on the internet, and since this is radio, it's kind of hard to show you those, but there's EVPs, and I couldn't really get the EVPs. Are kind of locked down. You got Florida Paranormal. They're kind of stingy. They don't want to share anything.
Yeah, tell me what EVPs, what are those again?
Well, that's electronic voice phenomenon or phenomena.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
and how do you capture
basically
those?
EVPs?
Yeah.
Well, EVPs, you can use different things to capture EVPs. You can use digital recorders. You can have some people believe they hear it over, like looking at a television, they hear the voice coming over, like white noise. You can hear voices in the white noise, stuff like that, where you can actually hear stuff coming through. Like you ask a question and then you get a reply. Like my ghost boxing, like all the ghost box sessions that I've done, where you can actually hear. You know, it's electric recordings, like spirit voices, right. Stuff like that.
So they think, and, as I'm reading through about this as well, they're saying that they think that they've captured in one of these EVPs or perhaps even multiple EVPs that they've captured the voice of Jessie Mae, the little girl.
Yeah, actually, there's a little thing talking about where they had heard "More cake, please." The little girl was actually caught on tape asking for her mommy. And then there's another one that where they say she's saying "More cake, please."
Yeah, and, I don't know what that, yeah, that one just, the "More cake, please" one actually kind of throws a little hair stain on in. That's a kind of a creepy. I don't know why that one just stands out to me.
Yeah.
It's just being a little creepy. Damn.
Well, like Frank Sumption, he was a friend of mine. He was an awesome dude. He created something called the Frank's Box. And basically, it was a white noise generator and an AM radio receiver. And it was modified to sweep back and forth through the AM band of radio. Mm-hmm. The amplitude modulation, I believe.
Yeah.
I got it.
AM amplitude modulation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, he's kind of the one, him and a fellow, there's another fellow named William O'Neill. They got together and they devised a spirit, something called the Spirit Comm. He got with a guy named George Mueller. And they were getting together in the early 80s with this technology, trying to see if they could hear voices and everything. So EVP research has been around for a long time. A lot of people just use old tape recorder and a microphone in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And
honestly,
it's kind of advanced. You look at what we got, everything's digital now. So
I was gonna say,
lot of it's analog in the old days.
The old analog stuff, especially you think about when I think about the old original like cassette tape recorders, you think about the microphones that came with those. It was a cone and a magnet. It wouldn't really pick up on any of the. You actually had to have a sound wave activate those. So
right.
If they were picking up stuff on those back in the day, there was damn sure something bizarre there.
Yeah, I imagine. You know, when you think about it, further back in time you go, even all the way back to the time of Edison. Edison, if I remember right, he invented something where he tried to talk to the dead. I can't remember what they called it. But it was some device that he was actually trying to talk to the dead. It really fascinated him. He wanted to, communicate. And that was a long time ago. I mean, we're talking like the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s, early 1900s.
Yeah.
So spiritualism, it really took a foothold in the latter part of the 19th century, and it's kind of evolved through the 20th, and now, of course, we got the digital age.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff you're seeing now, a lot of these devices that are supposedly catching, you know, electronic voice phenomenon and, you know, the EMF detectors and stuff like that. It's all digital now. It's no longer analog, and I think the analog stuff, I mean, I like to champion that. As being, in a lot of ways, a better medium to catch things.
I was going to ask you how you felt about that, because I don't know, I for lack of a better term, I think I'm going to use a tactile response. I don't,
right.
with analog is much cleaner. It just seems,
mean,
you get the noise, you get all the crap along with it that you don't get with the digital.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's part of you know, what you can really sink your teeth into. That's the deliciousness, you know, vinyl versus CD kind of a thing. If you want to look at it from a music perspective, you can't really beat vinyl. If you want that warm tones and all that kind of stuff, you don't get it as soon as you go to digital. You lose something. I mean. Do you have a collection of these tools of the old and the new? Or you do a comparison when you do your on site inspections?
Yeah, actually, I have the phone, of course. I use something called an Echo Box. That's Danny Roberge's invention. It's, I actually find it, it's very fascinating. It's digital, but it uses sound banks to try to create words based on what you might be picking up from quote unquote the other side. I've got a K2 meter. I've got a digital recorder, and then I've also got EMF detector. I've got an EMF detector on the phone, which is the digital version.
Well, now, what is a K? For everybody out there?
K2 meter. K2 meters. Well, you've probably seen them on Ghost Adventures. So they'll walk around and they'll move. You know, it's like yellow, red, green. Let me grab it. I got it right here actually, because we have a spirit in the house here, a little girl of our own that comes around. She comes around every so often, usually around Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah, so I never actually told you about that one, but we've got pictures of her orbs. I'm gonna say it because, of course, when you pass away, hence you have no gender. It would be an it. So
I would think so. Yeah.
Well, the K2 meter is a milligauss measuring device. If you ever seen Ghost Adventures, you'll see them walk around with this little gray or black box, and it's got like green, light green, dark green, yellow, and orange lights on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as the energy increases, let me tell you about milligauss, so that you understand what that is. Milligauss, it's measurement of EMF, and it is. It's like a milligauss is 1,000 times less than a gauss, but it is actually what's used to measure the units of gauss based on the electromagnetic frequency.
Magnetism itself is measured in gaussians. So yeah, I know where you're
considered. Yeah. Yeah. So you got this little gray device, it's called a K2, and you walk around and it measures the milligauss. Oh, how weird. I'm getting a reading right now. It's actually, it spiked for absolutely no reason. That's interesting.
Maybe she's listening to the show.
That's cool. That's cool as shit, man. it's picking up my mix board. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, let me shut it off. Okay, that's
good. Buzzy's
ghost. Yeah, we woke up Buzzy's ghost.
Yeah, well, anyway, the K2 meter measures. It measures.
Yeah, so if K2 is basically if it's an EMF measurement thing, it's going to pick up pretty much anything electrical. You get near any live electrical circuit, then it's going to get a little fired up.
Right. And that's exactly right. If you, let's say you walk up to an electric panel with a K2 meter, it's going to light up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to see whether or not the batteries are still good in it or to make sure that it's still working.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, your equipment sits, you got to make sure you got to put fresh batteries on it. Like in my case, I have to check it about every 6 months and make sure that the batteries and everything are good in it. So it's a good way to test your K2 meter.
Yeah.
To see whether or not you're picking up, you know, whether or not it's going to work. And I've actually had a lot of success with those little guys. They're pretty interesting little devices in picking up random electromagnetic waves. When you think about it, you're not really supposed to be picking up energy unless you're near an energy source, correct?
Right.
This object. This device, I'm sorry, may pick up an electromagnetic object, and there's nothing out there in the middle of a field,
right,
or in a house, and then you know it leads to speculation of whether or not you got something. So
I think
it's pretty neat.
Here's something too, and again, just from my own personal background, I understand of electronics. I do know that I can build a Gauss meter. the Gaussian meter. And if the sensitivity levels are correct, it will go off if I'm standing near a tree, if the wind is blowing.
Now, that's true. But I got a question for you. What is zero gain? What is negative zero gain? I mean, if you're out in a field and a house wants stood, there, and you've been walking around for 20 minutes, and then you walk up to this area. Now, this happened. That's why I'm using this reference.
Right.
I was actually doing an investigation in Horse Creek, and I was walking around with the K2 meter, and there was a house. These people were telling me, well, there used to be a house over there, and it was haunted. No, hey, y'all check that out. So, you know, I can walk over there, and I'm walking around, me and my friend, and right where the house was, this son of a bitch starts lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
And I look on the ground, I'm looking around, I'm looking for wire. It was built so long ago, there were no electrical connectors. There was no box.
Right.
Like we were talking about earlier.
Here's things you have to, and again, just from my own personal experience, perhaps I can help you. Look for things like this as well. Because the production of a Gaussian signal, if you have two differing pieces of material under the ground, you've got it. I don't know. You could have a piece of concrete rubbing up against a piece of wood. If you have two significantly different pieces of material, you have created basically a capacitor.
And you know, you just brought up a damn good point. You know that stone tape theory we were talking about earlier? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Because what you said actually can happen and can create electricity. So you've actually got a very good, you kind of lend to a different theory about impression. You know, where you're able to pick up different energies, and maybe that's where the stone tape theory part of it may lie therein.
It could be, but I'm not saying that these things aren't there, but I'm saying that you start looking at even the Catholic Church are saying, oh, was it a haunting? Was it this? Was it, you know, does it require an exorcism? Fortunately, now they've advanced to the point where they go, we've got to send somebody in, is it a miracle, or was it just, can we explain it away by science? So same kind of thing. You know, is it something that's underground? Somebody back 100 years ago, they dropped a bucket of nails in the ground.
Yeah. Well, now you're talking about metal detection.
Well,
that does work on that similar. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Again, same kind of thing though. You've got the frictional coefficient between the ground and the eroding steel or iron or whatever the hell it is. It can create this.
Well, yeah.
This energy storage area. It'll behave kind of like a capacitor, kind of like a battery. And it'll store these low Gaussian energies.
Right. And the Gauss meter actually, it's like a, I think it's triaxial or something. It's like a magnetic field meter, isn't it? Where it actually triangulates from point A to point, you know, X, Y, and Z. I can't remember. I haven't seen one in years.
If it has more two sensors, at least two sensors, you can do a triangulation. It won't work as a single.
Little yellow antenna thing that goes on top of my. I actually have a mail meter. Now, have you heard of a mail meter?
A which?
It's basically a mail meter. It's a device that measures temperature and energy, and it's very similar to a Gauss meter.
It's
a mail meter, and it's the mail meter. Interesting story about that. It's actually a true story. The guy who created the mail meter was actually he was with the Ghost Adventures team. He was trying to develop technology so that they could use it on their show. And the mail meters are they're pretty interesting little devices. They measure electromagnetic frequencies and the temperature. For instance, like if you go to an area and the electrical rate goes up, the gauss go up, and then you've got a cold spot. A lot of people attribute that to something being there. So you've seen those as well. Some of them are black, some of them are gray. They got a little yellow antenna, a little yellow box with an antenna sticking out of it, and people walk around, and they use those to measure in reportedly haunted locations different temperatures and different, you know, electromagnetic frequency. If both of them can at the same time,
right?
And they raise, a lot of people attribute that to being paranormal.
And I would quite frankly, I think I would lend a greater credence to that. A K2 meter is it's something you kind of get a I could scrub my feet on the ground and I could probably, you know, fire off a K2.
But that's why I use both.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. With the other. Now you're throwing in something. Yeah, that's totally different. You start breeding in temps and everything else on top of it. That get your eyebrows going, doesn't it?
It does. And see, a lot of with the last investigation I done, which was a private one, there's a house here in Greenville. I walked around and actually, as a friend of mine, Dalton Brotherton had told us about these people who lived down the road, and they had this weird little property, and I decided to go out there one day by myself and check it out, and it's abandoned, and it's this place off the beaten path, and it's disgusting. The roof is falling in, the walls are rotted out with mold, so you know. I kept my space, but I got close enough to start doing readings, and I cross-referenced the mail meter with the K2 meter. And the interesting thing is that as it spiked, we were looking at 10, 11, and 12 on the mail, and the K2 was maxed all the way to red, and it wouldn't, and there's just like one little spot. And then I went back and asked a couple of people about it, and they said, "Well, yeah, that's where the man died in like 1953 or something." So you know, and then I didn't know that. So it's little tidbits, little Easter eggs like that keep me interested in the paranormal. You know, you go out and you do these things, and you say, "Wow, you know, here's something that I didn't know." And that's the great thing about the paranormal, about the love of researching the paranormal. But the thing that really gets me, and I want to say this before our time is up, is these people out here ruining it and making it look bad for people that really believe and really had experiences, people that really dedicate themselves to their research, and they're out there trying to find out what this is. And there's so many theories, because to be human, we have to be conjective. We have to be diversified in the way we try to explain this.
You got to be a little bit open minded as well.
No. I'm validating that.
Right.
So, and because of that, it's important to weed out the non-hackers, so to speak, the ones that aren't really with it. They're just kind of doing it to be noticed or be famous or, oh, hey, well, we'll just tag this paranormal and then, you know, 100 people will come look at it. You know, that's not how I roll. I believe that I'm very meticulous in anything and everything I've ever done. That's why there's not a lot out there, because it is very moot and very taboo. And when you find something, it's very important that you research it and then research it again and then research it again. And keep researching it down to the layers until you find out whether or not it's bullshit or it's believable.
I think part of and you tell me what you think about this. There was the Ghost Hunters TV shows that were coming up all over. I think probably if any that was one of the most damaging things to what it is that you're doing. Those shows. Here you go. We're going to load up your house with a bunch of cameras. We're going to walk around and look like morons for 10 minutes. And then tomorrow we're going to tell you if you're haunted or not. It doesn't work that way.
Well, you may have called me out. You may have just called me out somewhat being hypocrite, because let me tell you, the thing, I absolutely feel the same way and always have ever since I'd watched it a long time ago. And then I got closer to Jason Dawes to find out whether or not he would, you know, because you want to get close to the source to find out whether or not they're, you know, peddling bullshit.
Right.
So, you know, there's actually some things, I mean, I believe that. See, let me explain this real quick. A lot of these shows you see, the people that are, I mean, these people, think about it, these people that go out and want to do this, right? they don't have the money, they don't have the capital, they don't have the they don't have people around them unless they can make a sale to someone that's going to buy into it, that has the money, the ability to get the message out, the ability to make it more known and famous or whatever. I think a lot of this is that the people that are in some of these shows, they're bullshit shows, but it's not the research that's bullshit. It's the people around them trying to keep the ratings up and trying to,
it's the producers. It's the show producers that are here we go.
Jason,
we've got to concentrate this thing down to this. We got to make this exciting spot.
Ryan.
We didn't really get anything exciting. Somebody go to the other side and bang on the wall. We have to have something to sell. And that's the problem. You know, do an honest thing. Maybe it's boring as shit for fucking weeks on end, but do an honest to goodness investigation on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you say, you know what? We've got this. Could it be? It might be, might not. If it comes out with a might not, so be it. So be it.
You ask any real investigator out there. I know that Jason is the real deal. I mean, I'm going to stand up for him for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the glam and all that shit, that's not him. The Atlantic Paranormal Society is a real thing. They've got really dedicated people. I know several of the people that are with that group and also the one over in Europe. They actually really do try, they aspire to do the right thing. I think a lot of them probably feel, as you know, they don't have that show anymore.
Right.
And I believe there's more of a reason to that than just ratings. I do believe that Jason Dawes said this, you know, we got to get with the real deal here. We've made the money from the shows. Now we can invest more in the research and the technology. And that's what real paranormal research is about. It's about investing the time. And let me tell you, a lot of time, which is something I don't ever have. But a lot of time, and to some people a lot of money, but to be honest with you, to research the paranormal, you ain't got to be wealthy. You can use simple things around you. There's actually a whole belief structure behind that where they believe in just using holistic approaches to researching the paranormal, like water experiments and stuff like that, you know, like water ICC. But I'm going to tell you, I know that a lot of these people have been made to look bad. It's like the pentagram. I love to tell people the story of the pentagram. You know, the pentagram was actually not a bad symbol.
In ancient times,
it was the star of Bethlehem. And during the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, I can't remember which, when the witches were being called out, a terrible misjustice. By the way, I wouldn't be talking to you if one of my ancestors had been burned at the stake, because I actually have an ancestor who was one of the witches from the Salem witch trials, I've never really told you, but yeah, I'll send you a link to it, but it ain't Trahan or not. It's one of my great, 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 blah, blah, blah grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
She gotten burned at the stake, I wouldn't be talking to you. Well, anyway, and I love ancestries, kick ass. Well, anyway, to get back on track here, and I'm really bad about jumping up and down, so we'll keep on track.
Well, give me a brief.
I know, I get on here.
I got one thing I need you to whip back around to. So finish your train of thought there real quick, because I got one thing I got to ask you about.
I'm just going to say to all the people out there that are listening that are real paranormal investigators, stay true to your research. Don't follow fads. And just stay true to what you're doing. And if you're onto something, you know, don't share that with anyone until you're absolutely certain that it's the real deal and that it's not bullshit and that you're not being, and don't ever take second and third party information and as being fact. You got to make damn sure you get it right the first time.
That's all I wanted to say.
And there's great people out there that are doing this
and they're being made
to look bad.
I got to bring you back to the Maystringer house, because you teased at this and we teased at it, and we never did hear if you give us 90 seconds about Mr. Nasty.
Okay, Mr. Nasty. Yeah, this is a good one. Mr. Nasty, apparently, when one of the doctors, I wanted to go into more about the doctors because I didn't get to, but we're running low on time. You can read up on this, though, at ghostandghouls.com, and just go in the search engine and type May Stringer House, haunted. and it'll bring it up. And that's a great website, actually. Ghost and Ghouls. Ghost in, not and, but in, with the
in
letter
ghouls.
N and ghouls.com.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Ghost and Ghouls. Okay, anyway. They believe, when the doctors, we were talking about the doctors that came in, and there was a doctor that actually lived there in the residence, and they believed, the doctor believed that he was a soldier who hanged himself in the attic after learning that his girlfriend screwed around on him.
Right.
And so he hates women. So he's a woman hater. And women that come into the May Stringer house, they often, they're often touched or pushed, and some have actually had scratches on them. And this house is really, I'm really interested in this place. I really would like to come down there and check this out.
They're talking there by chance.
I don't know.
What was that fish?
I
didn't make that out. What was that? What was the question, fish?
What was that?
George H. There.
Who?
George H. something.
Bush.
George Bush.
George. Oh. Oh yeah. Yeah. He rolls around in a wheelchair, grabbing women on the ass. Yeah, that's good. You know that show Turn? That's a kick-ass show. I love that. I love that show. I watched every one of them. It's a great show. But that she's good looking too.
Well,
Danielle, you're listening. We get to look. We don't get to order.
Yeah. Well, Fabian, I want to thank you so much for once again bringing the thunder, man. You bring good stuff, and I really, really appreciate
it.
Well,
if I'd have got, I have a whole bunch of show prep here, and let me tell you, 6 days a week, I get home, I get one day off. Yeah. I really had a lot more to go. I wanted to get in by 5 so I could. Really, I really had a lot to share with y'all. You know what? I really appreciate y'all. I appreciate you guys listening, and you keep the faith. Old Salty Man, he's the shit. He's the shit. He went out on a limb for me. He's given me a voice, and I'm beyond appreciated.
Mark.
No, you
are more than welcome, my friend. I genuinely appreciate you calling in, and sharing your story, and sharing your knowledge, and your experience, and your expertise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ad infinitum. I genuinely do appreciate it.
And what I want to do at some point when I can get my hands free, and it'll happen, I'm going to share a lot more with you guys. And every little step of the way that I go with it, I'm going to share it with you. And as technology improves, I believe so will our knowledge of things, unknown things around us. I believe they may end up answering themselves just with technology. Yeah. And its ability and being out there.
I think so as well.
But thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
So much.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween, buddy. Thank you so much.
Give us a scream.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right.
I'm going to cut you loose, and I got to finish up with Fish here. And thanks again for calling, buddy. I love you, man. We'll talk soon. All right, buddy.
I love you too, man.
Bye.
All right, later.
Fishy, buddy boy. I'm sorry, man. We're running high and tight on time, man. We're staring at the witching hour right now. What do you think? I mean, how'd you feel about the last half hour? Because you've been a silent listener back there.
It's stuff that I've heard. We had Fabian on 2 years ago. It was a Friday show.
Yeah.
You know, spooky shit, really is. And yeah, even though I give Buzzy a hard time, I believe there's, always something out there. I keep saying quantum mechanics and, in reality, it could very well be something.
You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong.
Complicatedly
simple.
But it's all there, so.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, knock wood, that next Wednesday we'll have Miss Cloudy in the studio to join us.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
I'm hoping, anyways. Boys and girls, I want to thank everybody for playing along today, listening along the Twitter box. Etc. Etc. All you guys, I love you. At Salty Talk on the Twitter box. At DA_Fishy1 on the Twitter box. If you're not following, do it now. Raz Radio on the Facebook later. Salty Talk Radio on the Facebook later. Get over there and click the follows, click the likes, however that, all that business works. Lawrence Ross, Waterhead Show, coming up here in a minute. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be back next Wednesday. I'm not sure about next Friday's show. I think Claudia's got me scheduled to do to take some chickens to the animal auction next Friday. She's told me she's taking next Friday off from work so we can clear some chickens out of the yard. We've got a butt load of chickens. So, anyways, boys and girls,
freeze your pants full.
That's my what?
Yeah, I said freezer camp is full.
Freezer camp's pretty full right now. Freezer camp's full, and we're gonna be breeding bunnies again. Gonna start Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, bunnies start up again. Boys and girls, love you all. Have a great night. Remember, it is in fact, like it or not, love it or not, believe it or not, a jungle out there. We'll see you later. Bye. You'd be worried too. You better pay attention for this world we love so much. Might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. 'Cause there's the jungle out there. There's the jungle out there.